Our epistle for this fourth Sunday after Easter is taken from St. James Epistle, chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. Beloved, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 5 through 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asks me, where art thou going? But because I have spoken to you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you. It is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come. The Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak, and the things that are to come he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine and declare it to you. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. With meekness, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, the first Mass today we had First Communion. Beautiful ceremony. Young souls, having done the proper preparation and dressed up for the occasion, received our Lord for the first time. On such an occasion, it's important for us, I think, to do a little examination as we remember perhaps our own first Holy Communion. In that examination, we'll find an opportunity in order to perhaps appreciate those things which we ought to appreciate more. When we take a look at communion, it's not a rite, it's a gift. But like with many gifts that God has given to man, there are basically three options. Either you can abuse it, you can leave it unused, or you can use it properly. In the use of it, there's a perfect and imperfect way of using it. And our goal is to want to use the gifts, especially of God, perfectly. It first starts off with sincerity, our attitude towards these sacraments. Understanding that they were instituted by Christ to give grace, and what that really means. What is Holy Communion? Holy Communion is when we receive the body, blood, soul, divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to us. But proper communion is not just receiving the good Lord on our tongue, but receiving him in our hearts. And how we make that reception for him in our hearts. Too many people, they come up for Holy Communion and make it a routine, and they get a gift that's infinite in value, and they don't make use of it. They go back to their places, daydream, or they make use of it imperfectly. Maybe they go back to their pews and read over some prayers out of their books and think that that's good. And they don't properly communicate with Christ, meaning talk to him and let him talk to them. Isn't that what communication is? That's why we call it Holy Communion. For the sacrament of penance, do we do the things that are necessary to make use of that sacrament properly? Do we examine our conscience before we go in there? Do we make up our mind not to sin again? Are we sincerely sorry for our sins because they are offensive to God? Not just because we're afraid we're going to go to hell or we're going to be punished. That's imperfect. Do we tell our sins to the priest honestly, humbly? And when we go as we're given the penance, it doesn't matter the size of the penance. It matters how we do the penance. Do we pray the penance that's given to us, or do we just say some words? Sincerity. For Holy Communion, the Baltimore Catechism tells us that in order to receive Holy Communion worthily, you must be free from mortal sin, you must have the right intention, observe the church laws, and receive our Lord with reverence. The right intention. What's the right intention? Well, simply put, eternal life. That's what I want. And He is eternal life, who I receive. In order to have the right intention, we have to understand what takes place. What will take place in us when we receive our Lord? What takes place on the altar at Mass? If we understand that He comes down on our altar at Mass and that it's a holy sacrifice, He does that for us in order so that we might be saved. And then He comes to us, if we allow Him, He comes into our hearts and fulfills us. He stays with us for a short amount of time, says about 15 minutes, and He leaves. Does He leave us alone? No. The same thing that took place when He left after being in this world for 33 years and being with His apostles for 40 days after He rose from the dead, He left, but He didn't leave them. He sent them the Paraclete, the Spirit of God, sanctifying grace. When we receive the sacraments, there is an increase in sanctifying grace that should take place if we're properly disposed. That means we perfect our relationship with God every time we receive one of the sacraments, if we do so properly. So the question then comes, how do we receive these sacraments? Do we just come and receive them, or do we receive them reverently and properly? When we receive our Lord, do we go back to our pews and then it's just one of the things we do, and we leave those gifts unused? Remember the talent, the parable of the talents. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent. The one who received 5 went and used them properly and received 5 more. The one with 2, the same. The one with 1 went and hid it. Did he abuse it? No, he didn't abuse it. He carefully folded it in a napkin and hid it. And when the master came back, he went and dug up the napkin and presented it to him. The 2 that made good use of the talents given to them, an analogy for grace or the opportunities that we have, what does the master of the house say to them? Well done, good and faithful servant. The one that went and hid his talent and then just gave it back to the master when he came back, what did the master say to him? He called him a wicked servant. Wicked. Because he didn't make use of the grace or that opportunity. So the question then comes, how are we going to make use of this gift ourselves? Well, it first starts off by appreciating what we have. Not taking it for granted. Making an act of faith. Not just say, I believe this, but believe what we say we believe. If you do so, there's a transformation that takes place within a person and of a person. They become different. If you say you believe, or if you believe that you receive Christ, who is all holy, and you open yourself up to His influence, wouldn't it make sense that you too will become holier? Isn't that what makes a saint? Is their connection with God? Oh, the saints were human beings. They had a fallen human nature. They had weakness. But what made them saints is that they tried to fight that weakness and put it into its place and seek after the kingdom of God and His justice first. Put God first. So as St. James tells us in today's epistle, therefore casting aside all uncleanness and the abundance of malice, all sin, we hate sin, we have to. You can't like sin and love God, it's impossible. casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice with meekness. With meekness, what does that mean? It means reverence, humility, gratitude, and sincere faith. Sincere faith. I believe it, Lord, because you've said so. And that's all I need. I don't understand it, but I believe it because you said so. Reverence, humility, gratitude, and sincere faith. Receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. There's only one way to save your soul. Follow Christ. Be one with Christ. And we have that opportunity when we receive Him in Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.